So today is a day about leadership. So leadership, God appoints. What? Oh, I didn't delete that. Okay. So it's part four of John Doe today. So, hallelujah. God appoints, God gives identity, and God gives purpose. So before we start, I want to ask you, I'm nice and loud. I'm like the voice of the Lord. Hello, church. I want to ask you a question. If I tell you priest, what are words that jump into your mouth? And into your head. If they jump into your head, let them jump out of your mouth so that we can all hear. I say priest, what do you say? What's the function? What's the identity? If I say priest, what does it mean to you? Leadership. Head.
Altar.
Prayerful. Oh my goodness. Holy. Mariki. Huh? Prayer. Jacques, yeah? Authority, Father. Prophetic. Huh? What?
A bridge and a door.
Ooh. Okay. What else? Representative, Magloire. No. Father. Okay. Any other things burning on your heart that you want to say? Benjamin, if I say priest, what do you think about? Leadership, okay? Okay. When I hear priest, especially if I think Old Testament, I think Braai. They were making fires and burning stuff the whole time. Anyways, if I say world to you, you know, we're Christians, we talk about the kingdom of God and then the kingdom of Satan and the world and worldliness. If I say world, what do you guys think of?
Lost.
Pleasure. Sin. Huh? Okay. Tibza, if I say world, what do you think of? Huh? Beautiful. Hungry.
Fun.
Huh? Empty. Temporary. Philip.
Pleasure.
Temptations. Anybody else? Huh?
Complacent.
Okay. Okay. So during intercession on Friday, I just want to just invite you. If you have nothing to do on a Friday morning at 5:30 in the morning, it happens, and you want to pray for an hour, you're welcome to come at the church at 5:30 in the morning on Fridays. We were praying, and I had this word, and it said the Kohathites knew they were Kohathites. And that's my first slide. Think. Mahda, are you with me? So the Kohathites knew they were Kohathites. So I discovered who the Kohathites were when I started to read my Bible. Ha ha ha. That was about 5 years ago. Been a believer for longer, but so if you want to know who the Kohathites are, read your Bible. No, I'm just joking. But so the Kohathites are the sons of Kohath, and Kohath is the son of Levi. Levi is the father of the Levites. The Levites were the priests, okay? There were 12 tribes in Israel. Levi was one of them, and the Levites were the ones who were ordained to take care, to be the priest, to take care of God, to take care of the minister in the temple. So I'm just going to quickly walk with you through Numbers 1 through 4. So in Numbers 1, God tells Moses to make a census, that means to count the tribes of Israel, but he was not allowed to count the tribe of Levi. So he counted all the others, but he said to Moses, you must not count the tribe of Levi or include them in the census of the other Israelites. Instead, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant law over all its furnishings and everything belonging to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. They are to take care of it and encamp around it. Whether the tabernacle is to move, the Levites are to take it down, and whenever the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites shall set it up. Anyone else who approaches it shall be put to death. We won't focus on the last part, but I just want to look at just, we're going to come to the Kohathites, but seeing them in the context of being priests. So they had a number of things to, a couple of things happened. God is speaking with Moses, and God says, appoint. There wasn't really a discussion between the Kohathites and God. Even less a discussion between God and Moses. Moses didn't say, don't you want to put these guys in? No, God said, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle. So the job description that we see, first thing right here in Numbers 1, is that the Levites are in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant law. And everything that's inside that tabernacle, the furnishings and everything belonging to it. They are to carry the tabernacle, and they're to take care of it. And they're supposed to encamp around it. So God told where the Levites were supposed to sleep. So to give a little bit more context, Israel had just left Egypt and they were in the desert of Sinai. The desert of Sinai is the desert between Egypt and Israel. It's a little peninsula like this. If you like diving, there's beautiful fish. If you like hiking, there's beautiful hikes. There's one of the 16 sites of Mount Sinai that is called Mount Sinai in the Sinai. And so they were camping in tents, okay? So Marietta and I and our two kids at that time, we traveled from South Africa to Ethiopia. And every day we had to pack out the tent and the kitchen and everything. And every morning we had to pack up everything so that we could travel. That took us, our tent is like a 3 meter by 3 meter, quick set up, quick set down. But to pack up and pack out, it took us 2 hours about in the morning and maybe an hour and a half in the evening. So it took time. So now we have to picture, this is a tent that's at least 14 meters long by 5 meters wide that is made with big poles of acacia wood, thick skins, thick material. It's covered. Yeah, okay. So it looked kind of something like this. So it was a big thing to move. Maybe it took him about a week to set up camp. Who knows? Another thing that's interesting in this passage is that God speaks about the Levites. There's a prerequisite of God speaking about the Levites is that the Levites know they are Levites, right? He didn't go and he didn't say, okay, Moses, go tell the sons of Levi that they're the sons of Levi. No. They knew it, yeah? The sons of Levi knew they were Levites. There was no issue with that. So then, this is kind of what it looked like. In Numbers 2, God tells all the tribes where they are supposed to sleep with regard, you can leave that, yeah, with regard to the tabernacle. And some were to sleep north of the tabernacle, some south, some east, and some west. So, yeah, you can put the next slide now. So what's interesting is that, and this is just a side note. Come back one. So there were about 15,000 people from the different tribes, from a couple tribes living, who were supposed to camp north of the tabernacle. 15,000 who were supposed to be south of the tabernacle. 10,000 west and 19,000 south. So this kind of looked like this. If you think of Balaam, the son of Beor, who had to climb on a mountain to see the people of Israel and who was asked to curse the people of Israel, he saw something that looked like this. Go to the next slide. It's kind of amazing. If you look west, there's 10,000, north 15, south 15, and east, there were about 19,000. It looks kind of like a cross. That's just to make you happy. The Lord has a plan. He has a purpose. not the purpose of our sermon, but it's interesting. If they had a drone at that time and you were in the tabernacle and you just went up, you looked down, you would see kind of the picture of a cross. Pretty cool. Okay, Numbers 3. The Lord also said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of... The Levites are mine, for all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down the firstborn in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel. Whether human or animal, they are to be mine. I am the Lord. The random Levite knew he was chosen. He was set apart by God, and he was set apart by God. There was no doubt who set him apart. He said, these are mine, these are mine. God says, say in Arabic, khalas, it's finished. God says, they are his. And the Levites knew they were set apart. They didn't really have a choice. But we never see them as well saying, why did you choose us to serve you, God? I would argue that they knew it was an honor to serve God. We never see them, oh, Lord, why did you make me a Levite? I have to serve in your presence. No. It was an honor. It was an honor to be able to serve the Lord. Okay, we see in now Numbers 4, verse 27. It says, to Kohath belong the clans of the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites. Those were the clans of the Kohathites. So in case you were a son of Kohath, and you were not sure you were a Kohathite, he says, these are the list of the Kohathites. So there's no doubt. And then he goes after that, and he says, if you still had doubt, it says the number of all the males of 1 month old in the clan of the Kohathites is 8,600. So they knew how many there were. There was no doubt. Okay, now let's go to the next slide, verse 28 and 29. Oh yeah, so the Kohathites were responsible. So amongst the Levites, who were all priests, the Kohathites were the ones who were responsible for the care of the sanctuary. So the sanctuary is the holy place. It's where God dwells. So if you remember on that picture of the tabernacle, there was the tent, and then there was a whole fence around it. Okay, the Kohathites were not responsible for the fence. They were not responsible for the doors. They weren't responsible for the basin and the altars. They weren't responsible for that. They were responsible for the holy place, the most holy place, the holy of holies. And he tells them where to sleep. They're to sleep on the south side of the tabernacle. Verse 30, the leader of the Kohathites clan was Elizaphan, the son of Uziel. God even told him who was going to lead them in leading them. Verse 31, they were responsible for the care, and now he tells them what they're going to be responsible for. What are the tools they're going to be working with? For the care of the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altar, the articles of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtain, and everything related to their use. Do you think the Kohathites wondered what they were supposed to do? Should I be working with this table? Oh, I can't remember. No. God says, the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altar, and all the articles of the sanctuary. Very clear. They know where they're working. They know what they're going to work for. There was no doubt about who the Kohathites were. They knew who they were. No doubts. They knew who appointed them. There was no doubt of where they were to sleep. Should I sleep north, south, east, west tonight? No. God said you're going to sleep south of the tabernacle. There was no doubt where they were to work and who they're going to be working for and who was going to be their leader and who was their team. They didn't have any doubts about any of these things. They didn't have any doubts about what their tools were and what they were supposed to be used for. It goes on in other scriptures explaining to them how they're supposed to bathe, how they're supposed to eat, what they're supposed to eat, what they're supposed not to eat, who to marry, how to dress even. It was specific. They were priests, Kohathites, to minister in the holy place. Just for fun, could you imagine one day Mr. Moshe, Moshe is Moses in Hebrew, from the clan of the Azharites, he says, you know, maybe I'm from the clan of Kohath, but, you know, my friend Jimuel over there, he's a better Kohathite than I am. He's much more gifted. Oh my goodness, you should see him carry those poles of acacia. He carries them like no one. I'll let him do it today. I'm not really qualified. You know, that guy, oh man, he's so good. Or can you picture the guy saying, working in the Holy of Holies today? Nah, I don't feel like doing that. Or, that pillar of fire is moving again. We have to pack up. Oh, I'm not going to do it this time. Can you picture that? No, of course not. Or can we think of this guy saying, you know, I'll be a part-time Kohathite. I'll be a Kohathite on a Saturday when we all go to the synagogue. No, man. Doesn't make sense. I think it's because they understood who was God. Because they had seen what God did to the sons of Aaron. If you remember in Leviticus, so first of all, if a voice speaking out of that pillar of fire tells you you're to do something, you know, it's a bit scary to go to the principal, you know, say, hey, I'd like to discuss, or to your boss, I'd like to discuss my contract, but go describe, go think about going to discuss your job description or your pay or your whatever with a consuming fire. If I'm a Kohathite and the voice tells me to do something, I'll go do it, you know. Sorry, God, you know. So just another reason why, I mean, apart from that, and it's actually very related to that, the sons of Aaron in Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu, it says, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered an unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So remember, God, he gave a command on how to do things, and these two sons thought, we'll do it differently. What happens to them? So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. As a priest, you had to do God's work, God's way. God was Lord. God had saved them out of Egypt. He had saved them with an outstretched arm, it says. He took them out of Egypt through amazing wonders. He defeated all the gods of Egypt. He split the Red Sea. They had all seen this. But he was also their Lord, and they had no doubts about that. And so if the Lord says something, they would do it because they knew God was Lord. And it's the same with us. We often see Jesus as our Savior. And we like Jesus as our Savior because he takes care of our sin, but Jesus is also our Lord. Amen? And what does it mean for us to live in God's way today? Do we ask Jesus, who's our Lord, these questions? Scary questions. What do you want me to do with my life, Jesus? What do you want me to study? Is it okay if I steal a little bit? It's just an apple. I'm a bit hungry. Or is it okay if I cheat at my exams? What does Jesus have to say about this? Where do you want me to live, Jesus? What do you want me to farm, for instance? Do we ask this question? What does Jesus have to say about my body? My body's not my own anymore. Jesus is the Lord of my body. What does he say about my body? The clothes I wear, am I sleeping with somebody I'm not married to? Should I be doing it or not? My money, is Jesus the Lord of my money? Who am I giving money to? Am I giving money to? How am I spending my money? Our time, what do you think, Jesus, about my TV watching I'm not giving answers, I'm just giving you questions that you can ask Jesus about. The series I'm watching. What about your eating? What does Jesus have to say about your eating? Is Jesus the Lord of our lives? And if he is, are we saying yes to him? Because he can be Lord and we say no, but, you know? And what are the small yeses, or what are the yeses right now that Jesus is asking us to say yes to? Because if we're faithful with the small yeses, then there's big yeses later that he will ask us to do. Amen? We start small. What's a small thing? I'll tell you a story. I have these great dreams. I think my wife always gets scared when I say, Mariette, imagine if, and then she's like, oh my goodness. I love these imagine. But one day, the Lord told me, Benjamin, because I don't know if this is a man thing or not, but I used to, I'm much better now, get home, take my clothes off, and my clothes would be wherever I got undressed. Well, now I'm living with my in-laws, so I can't do it, but when I had a home, I'd just come home, and we lived in hot country, so we'd just take my clothes off, oh, and then they would just sit there. And God told me, Benjamin, you can't even clean your house. How am I going to entrust you with something bigger? And then from that day on, I said, Lord, how can I do this? Show me. And the secret for me was like, when I go into a room, because I don't see clutteredness, I don't see a mess. I can walk into a house with a mess and I won't even see it. But then I asked God for, like, how can I improve in this? And so I asked God, and he said, look at this room as if you were Mariette. Oh my goodness, what's happening in this house? Why is there chaos everywhere? And so then I started to try to see, like, and start clean up. It's a small thing. But I knew I was purposeful with that very small thing because I knew, and because I want greater things. I don't want my life to stop at, yeah, I can clean my house. No, no, no. We want the greater things in the kingdom. Amen? Just an example. So what are the things you're supposed to say yes to the Lord in this time? So let's bring this home. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, oh, come back one slide. Did I miss something? Yeah, perfect. No. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, marvelous light. Is the penny starting to drop? Kohathites, you are a royal priesthood? Is it making sense? Are we alive? Okay. So through the blood of Jesus, we have access to the Holy of Holies. Which means, beyond a doubt, we are modern-day Kohathites. Does that mean what applied to a Kohathites might apply to us? Opla. Okay, let's see. I think that just like the Kohathites, you have been appointed by God to be minister and to be priest. It's a full-time job. It's not a part-time anointing. There's no such part-time anointing in the Bible. You're a priest. You're a priest. Not just on Sunday. On Monday? At school? At work? I'm a priest. No. Yes. You are a priest. Just like the Kohathites, because of the price that Jesus paid for you, he gets to say what your job description is. Did you know that? Imagine your boss. He didn't do anything for you. He gets to say how you spent 8 hours of your day. Jesus, what did he do for us? What did he not do for us? Can he not get something to say in our lives? Just like the Kohathites, you've been called for a purpose that God has chosen. Just like the Kohathites, the Lord is interested in having something to say about what you do and how you do it. Just like the Kohathites, your personal contribution is key to the building of the tent or the house of God. And I would go so far as saying that it will not be full, the house of God will not be complete or full, if without your contribution. So the house of God will not be full, will not be complete, will not be, we won't function as a body if you are not bringing to this body what you're supposed to bring to this body. The beauty of the body is every single one acting and leading according to who or she is, from Sunday to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, no, Wednesday's off, no. Wednesday, Tuesday, no, it's all Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's who you are. And that's the beauty of who we are. What's the next slide? Oh, wow. Okay, come back. Okay. So let's look at a couple things that could define you as modern-day Kohathites. So these are the things that you spoke of. A Kohathite is one who leads. He's the head. Prayer is involved in his life. This comes from you guys, huh? It's magic. You speak, and it comes on the slide. You have authority. There's a prophetic dimension to who you are and what you do. Coming back to the authority, you have authority to move, to create, to speak things into being. Deval was telling us, you lead with that authority, and you plant seeds in people, planting seeds of life, preferably. This prophetic anointing, we can call things out into being that are not. Fathers, we can father the people around us, loving them, caring for them, raising them, bringing them to the Father. We're rich and adore. Amen. Yes, all the richness of Christ has been given to us. It says in Ephesians 1 that all the spiritual gifts that are in Christ are available for us. Fire, brai. We are to set ourselves on fire as a living tabernacle for the Lord. There's this one famous, and I can't remember his name, so he's not that famous, but he said, when he goes to preach, he says, I light myself on fire, and I wait for people to come see me burn. in the spirit, obviously. So this is who we are. Okay, so today there's no more tabernacle. The Kohathites were supposed to minister in the Holy of Holies. But what does a Kohathite do today? What's the purpose of Kohathiteness today? Why would God call us to be priests today? So I want to tell you something about God, and it's found in John 3:16 that I think we all know. So who can say John 3:16 out loud? For God, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but get eternal life. Okay, so we know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, that he sent Jesus. So eternal life in this particular scripture, I think, means an eternal living relationship with God. It doesn't mean that those who don't believe in Jesus won't get eternal life, like they'll just die and disappear. No, there's eternity in both sides. But this is eternal relationship living in the presence of God. Okay? So that's the end, shall get eternal life. Come back a bit, love. What's the word love in this particular scripture? You know, in Greek there's several words for love. This one is agape love. What does agape love mean? Unconditional love. Say unconditional love. That means love with no conditions. Can you say love with no conditions? Love with no conditions. Okay? How is it possible to love someone and not agree with that someone? Yes, thank you. Can I love someone and disapprove of that, of their behavior? I'll give you an example to make it very easy. My son, if he hits his sister, do I love him? Hopefully. Do I approve of his behavior? No. Okay? So it's possible to love and not approve of a behavior. Okay? Another word, world. In Greek, it's the word kosmon. So we get cosmetics from it, but we don't look at that. But it means the world, the universe, the worldly affairs, the inhabitants of the world. So God so loved the world. Let's look at your definition of world. Lost, pleasure, sin, beautiful, hungry, fun, empty, temporary temptations. So we'll scratch the nice ones out of there, just for the purpose of what I want to say. Lost, that relates to people. Pleasure, that relates to people. Hungry relates to people. Empty relates to people's experience of fullness and emptiness. Temptations, there's no people, who's going to be tempted? Okay? So, the bad things usually don't happen if there's no people, in general. But people do these things. So basically, what we call the world is the fallen state, the sinful place, or the sinful state of things in the world. Is that a good definition that we can work with? Well, that's the one we're going to work with. So God expresses his love. He says, God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved me. It didn't say God so loved the church. It didn't say God so loved the French. It didn't say God so loved the Afrikaans. The Afrikaners. It didn't say God so loved the Xhosa. It didn't say that. It said God so loved the world. I like to picture it as if there's this wave of love going from God towards the world. And I like to think about myself. I want to be a surfer on this wave. So if the object of God's love is here, and God is here, and I'm standing here, I can't surf that wave. I have to come, and I have to say, yes, Lord, I want to love what you love. I want to love the lost. I want to love the broken. I want to love the hungry. I want to love the sinful. And then we can start riding that wave. And God so agaped the world. He just loved so unconditionally the world. What does he do because he loves? He sends. The sending of Jesus is the expression, or one of the expression, of God's love for the world. And God sent Jesus. Jesus sent the disciples. And the disciples have been sending disciples for the past 2,000 years. And at the end of this time together, I'm going to ask you, if you want to be a Kohathite starting on Monday, you can come to the front and we'll pray for you and we'll send you. Okay, next slide. So now we're going to split into little groups and we're going to talk about this. What does it mean to be a modern-day Kohathite? Remembering that it's an identity that's given by the Lord for a purpose. And kind of in the same breath, how can I be a modern-day Kohathite on Monday morning? And yes, that's tomorrow. Not in 10 years. Okay, so get into little groups of 4, 5. No, you can stop at 5. Okay. So you're here amongst family and friends, and so you can continue this conversation with family and friends after church tomorrow, anytime. But now we're going to stop. And I just want to invite you, if you feel the Lord has been speaking to you about consecrating yourself, about being a Kohathite or a priest, I want to pray for you and I want to send you towards Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. So if you want that, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, and all you amazing leaders out there, please come to the front and we'll pray for people.